Amen. So, well, verse 44, the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter. Man, I want to share this with you here today. The Bible says this, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Your word is blessed. Now give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. And we receive it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated here this morning. Praise God. Thank you so much for being here today. As Brother Bill had mentioned, take a moment, check the bulletin out. All the announcements are in the bulletin, and stay up to date with us of things that are going on Facebook, and check out our website. And we've got a calendar of events on our website. So, and if you have logged in to our text app already, if you've already logged in and typed in Harvest to 31996, you get all the updates. If you've not done that, then sorry about your luck. All right, it's just the way it is. All right, so we love you though, but sorry. So, but I want to share this morning a message that I've been stirring in my heart for a little while, and talk to you today about lessons from a pearl. Now, thank y'all for being with us today and staying with me, because this word I want to share is something that I believe is going to speak to us as a church this morning. But lessons from a pearl. Now, of course, I don't have the pearl this morning, but as an object lesson, this is going to work. And I want to share with you and show you something, but the finest quality natural pearls have been highly valued as gemstones and objects of beauty for many centuries. And because of this, the word pearl has become a metaphor for something very rare. The word pearl has become a word of to describe something that is very fine. It's been used to describe something that is very valuable, has been used to describe something that is admirable. And I was reading up that just about 10 years ago, a Filipino fisherman made an amazing discovery in the sea off the coast of the Padawan Island in the Philippines, a 2-foot-long pearl inside of a giant clam was found. A 2-foot-long pearl was found. How many of you say, I'd love to have found that one? Man, can you imagine? Well, listen to what this fisherman did. This fisherman took that pearl home, hid it up under his bed, and called it a good luck charm. And that's where it stayed until just recently. His house burnt down, but the 75-pound pearl survived, and it is valued at over $100 million. While my wife was gone, I went through her jewelry trying to find pearls that I could use for this illustration, thus the reason that I'm using a fake pearl this morning. And so I thought about something that when I read that, you know, in this parable, Jesus is telling two parables here. He says that a man finds a treasure, hides it in the field, and then he sells everything he has to purchase the field. And the second parable says that the other is the merchant who is looking for pearls. He's a jeweler. He finds one pearl of great price, and this pearl impacted his life so much that he goes home, he sells everything that he has, he comes back to purchase that pearl. Now, typically we would look at this scripture here. Typically, we would think that people approach this parable by saying this, that this pearl is salvation and that the buyer is the lost sinner. But the truth be told, saints, you can never sell enough. You can never earn enough. You can never give enough to purchase salvation through Jesus. You can't. There's nothing you can do to earn it, to purchase it, to buy it, to sell anything. There's nothing you can do to that can ever come close to purchasing salvation. So if Jesus is not the treasure, and now my mind, man, I begin to read this and look at this parable in a totally different way. And I said that, you know what? If Jesus is not the treasure and Jesus is not the pearl, because now it makes sense, then maybe we are the treasure and maybe we are the pearl. You have to go back and just really read that parable some more and put yourself in to get yourself to understand. See, what if Jesus found a treasure in you? Think about that with me this morning. What if Jesus found a treasure in us and gave all that he had to buy something that looked worthless to everyone else? But he knew that even though you can't see it, he put something on the inside of you a long time ago that makes you worth him laying down his life for. What if Jesus was the merchant that was going around seeing pearls and found one of great price? He sold everything. He gave up everything so that he could come down to earth and purchase one pearl. Think about that with me. What if I'm that pearl? What if you're that pearl? What if he left heaven and came to earth just so he could buy my salvation? Oh, praise God for that this morning. Saints of God, understand it is God who is willing to pay any price to save a people from death in hell. And I begin to think about the pearl. I begin to think about the oyster, and my mind was just kind of going throughout the week this week. And I begin to look at some things and say, you know what? There's some really pretty cool lessons here that the pearl can teach us. And I want to share with you several of them this morning. One thing is this right here today, that a pearl, it is a valuable object. It is a very valuable object. Pearls can be worth fortunes. In fact, strings of pearl can actually be worth millions of dollars. But on the flip side of that, if we are the pearls, then think of this. The church was worth a fortune to God. The church, you are the church, is worth a fortune to God. Listen, he had to pay a high price to save the church from hell. He had to give the death of his own son. How do you determine the value of something? By what somebody is willing to pay for it. You better look at yourself this morning and realize that, you know what? God saw value in you. God saw great value in you. Jesus paid the ultimate price. And we have taken something that Jesus was willing to pay such a high price for. And here's what we've done. We have cheapened it with something and as of something of no value. Boy, that disturbs me this morning. Something that God saw such a high price for. Something that God saw of so much value. We have taken it today and we've cheapened the value. The church calls Christ everything. And today we try to cut corners for what we can give to the church. Listen, the church is worth a fortune to the world. The church is worth a fortune to the world. Do you want to know why I believe that some cities in America, the earth just has not opened up and swallowed them in? I believe in those cities, regardless of the evil that has taken place, what I believe is holding back God's judgment on America. Do you want to know what I believe is? Three of you do. I believe, first of all, when we can't even pass a simple bill in the halls of Congress about keeping a baby alive. And I'm thinking to myself, we're doomed. What is keeping the earth from opening up and just swallowing us down? We want to talk about God's judgment on a nation. If you ever think about that, go back and read the Old Testament. Read how they worship Baal. Read how the parents offered their children as sacrifices to this idol God. You want to know why I believe the earth hasn't opened up and swallowed America, the country as a whole? Because I believe on the street corners all around our country are some churches. And they may run an average of 30 people. They may run an average of 50 people or 100 people or 500 or even 1,000 people. But I believe that there are pastors that are getting up Sunday after Sunday after they see the news and after they see what's on the media. And I believe they're still standing up in the pulpits. And I believe people are still gathering around in altars and they're still crying out to God for their homes. They're still crying out to God for their marriages. I think they're still crying out to God for their children and crying out to God for their cities. And the church is that buffer between our country and God's wrath. We get up week after week saying that there's still marriages that can be restored by God's help. And I believe that this morning. We get up week after week. You're wore out. You're tired. You've had a long week. You come in here with things on your mind. Things that you've got to get done. Things that you've had to deal with this past week. But with the great thing is we can still come in here and under one body. And we can still agree together. There's still teenagers that need to be saved. There's still homes that need to be restored. There's husbands that still need to come to know God. There's wives that still need to come to know God. That God is not finished with them yet. And it's like the church is holding God back and saying, God, just give us another week. Give us another opportunity to make a difference in the city and the state and the country that we live in. The church is so, so valuable to the world. But we've cheapened it so much. We've cheapened it so much. Listen, if it wasn't for the church, some of you would have given in to depression. If it wasn't for the church, some of you would have lost your mind. If it wasn't for the church, some of you would have never got your healing that you prayed for. If it wasn't for the church, you would have never gotten your deliverance. You would have lost your marriage. You would have messed up your life if it wasn't for the church. Well, somebody give God praise for the church this morning. The pearl is, that's how valuable the church is. God saw the church of so much value, but I believe it breaks his heart when we cheapen the church. And we cheapen the cost of it. You know, the pearl is made from something completely useless. This was very interesting to see this. It is a composite. There are three materials used in the formation of a pearl. The pearl is made of a useless material. These are the offending material, which is a small piece of sand. Last time you've been on the beach, you didn't look around and say, wow, look at the value. You didn't think anything about it, man. You make a castle and then kick it down. There was no value to it. But what has happened is, in order to make this pearl, a small grain of sand gets into the oyster and it begins to release saliva. It begins to release calcium that coats that piece of sand. And something that is worthless makes a connection with two other materials, and then it becomes something of great value. I got news for you this morning. I ain't nothing but a speck of sand. Look at somebody beside you this morning. Tell them, say, you are worthless this morning. You are absolutely worthless. Some of you wives are taking advantage of this opportunity right now. Go ahead and take it. You've been wanting to tell him that for a long time now. Here's your opportunity. You are absolutely worthless. What value do you have within yourself? The Apostle Paul says it like this: all have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. If when I do my best, my righteousness is still as filthy rags. He said, I count it all as dung. If you don't know what dung is, ask your local farmer. He said, I count all of my accomplishments. I count all of my achievements. I count all the best things that I've done. I count them as dung. My best efforts are still as dung. You see, God finds that worthless thing and he begins to release two things on you called grace and mercy. And God is taking you, you worthless piece of sand, and he has coated you with grace, he's coated you with mercy. And it's begin to work on you, and it's begin to move around on you. And you see, I come in here worthless, but then grace and mercy covers me, and I don't get what I do deserve, and I do get what I don't deserve. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 17, it says, and they shall be mine. That worthless piece, once grace and mercy has covered them, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day that I make them, oh, you got to see this, that I make them my jewels. You were that worthless piece of sand. But when grace and mercy got on you, you became a value. You became a jewel to God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sin. If you don't do anything else today, this afternoon, you need to take a minute and you need to remember what you once were. It's important to do that. Because we live in a world where people are always good. And it's sick. I'm sick of churches that are telling people, oh, you're good. 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 There's going to be a lot of good people that go to hell then. I'm looking at this, and we need to understand. We live in a world where we're told we're good, everything's good, regardless of their behavior, you're still good, and no one is bad, because saying that somebody is bad, calling sin out in somebody's life, it might hurt their feelings. And what has happened is this: grace has lost its value. Because we're telling people that they're fine and you don't need to change. I don't know if it's preachers that are standing behind the pulpits preaching this, or if it's Billy Joel that is saying, don't go changing and try to please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar and I don't see you anymore. Please tell me that that's not what's being preached behind the pulpits anymore. Please tell me that preachers are not telling their people that God don't want you to go changing who you are, and he loves you just the way that you are, because you're worthless. And you were of no value at one time. And I'm in the same boat. We've got to understand, we need a good service to remember, saints, just how pathetic we really were at one time. how addicted we really were at one time, how sick we once were, how vile we once were, how jacked up our lives really were. Because what's so special about grace if you're already so special? And so we've cheapened it. What's so great about God's mercy? What's so great about God's grace if you've already, you're so good? Listen, we were pathetic. We were of nothing, of no value at all, until our lives were wrapped around grace and mercy. It's a memory of who I was that gives me a praise for where I am today. I want to tell you, people who don't praise God can't remember who they used to be. They think that they made themselves holy. The loudest praisers, I'm convinced of this, the loudest praisers in the church are people who say, I know who I once was, and I've come a mighty long ways, and God's done a great work in me, and I wouldn't be where I am today if it had not been for grace and mercy on my side. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I feel like I'm yelling a lot. Get over it. Ephesians 2, 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, you worthless piece of sand. I'll call something out real quick. Just before the devil gets in your mind and thinks he's talking bad about us, I fit into your category, you knucklehead. We all were there. See, I know how the devil works. Some of you get offended so easy and so quickly. I'm saying we were all worthless at one time. We were all pointless at one time. It is the gift of God, not of your works, lest anyone should boast. So we've got to understand how valuable. We've got to understand that point, how valuable that you are now, how valuable the church is now. That God has got a hold of it. I want to show you another thing about the pearl. Another lesson that I've learned is this. It is a thing. A pearl is a thing of unique beauty. Two pearls that are never exactly alike. What am I saying? I'm saying pearls have different shapes. Pearls have different sizes. The parable says this. He recognized the value of what he had found. He determined to have it. He sold everything to make his purchase. And today, a pearl, the church, is of great, unique beauty. I look across here and you're all different. And I like that. There's something different about every one of you. But he made black pearls and pink and cream and white and even multicolor overtones. Isn't God awesome? Isn't God awesome? I heard someone say the other day, well, you know, God is colorblind. And they wasn't even talking to me, but I can't help but eavesdrop in people's conversations. And when I heard the statement, God's colorblind, I kind of went, pfft. Anybody ever went, pfft? I was like, then why did he make so many different colors? God ain't colorblind. The church might be colorblind, but God's not colorblind. He made us all of different colors. Listen, it's a beautiful thing. We don't look alike. We don't all act alike. Thank God for that one. We don't all have the same color. We didn't all come from the same background. We didn't all, we're all raised the same, but we all can go on the same necklace. God is so good. God's not colorblind. So the thing that you've got to understand is this, that the lesson from the pearl, it is a unique beauty. The church is supposed to be a unique beauty. I don't like a white church. I don't believe in white churches. I pray for black people. I pray for Hispanic people. I pray for every color that is not like me. to fill the remaining of these seats in here. That's my prayer. Just want you to know that. And if you want them to look like you, then we're going to have an awful boring church. I preached in both. Bill, I preached in all white churches, of course. I preached in black churches before. You got to have a little mixture. Black people wear you out in church. By now, you'd have had five or six standing up saying, "Come on, preacher. Preach, preacher." And white people, we just kind of are all calm, cool, and collective. I couldn't do an all-black church. They wear you out. They'll make you tired, man. Dancing for all that time, you're just kind of, you know, doing that thing. And then the white churches, they just you got to have a mixture. You got to have a mixture. And I believe that's what God's church is supposed to look like. Of unique beauty, a mixture of people, a mixture of color, a mixture of everything. You know, it's a great word. But I want to show you another thing, a lesson that I've learned about a pearl. We having fun yet this morning? You're already offended. It's okay. God will help you. But I want to show you something else that I've learned. It is a lesson from a pearl. The pearl is a hidden work. It is a hidden work. A pearl does not grow in the oyster overnight. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. It grows gradually. As a matter of fact, it can take one oyster up to 3 years to grow a pearl. The pearl grows hidden inside of the oyster under the water. It can't be seen until it is ready. And the shell keeps it protected. The pearl is in a process of a hidden work. How does that speak to the church this morning? The question is this: have you ever felt like God has been keeping you in the hiding? Have you ever felt like God was kind of drawing you back? Have you ever felt like God was pulling you back from relationships? Have you ever felt like God was pulling you back from friendships? Have you ever felt like God was pulling you back from job opportunities? Listen, the reason why is this: because you're not ready yet. And the longer you're in the hiding, the more valuable you're going to become. Tell somebody this morning, you're just in the hiding. The rest of you, tell your neighbor, you're in the hiding this morning. Whew, that's why I don't like all white churches. Another lesson I've learned about the pearl is the value of a pearl is determined by how well it reflects light. And that's important because one of the outstanding qualities of a pearl is the ability to reflect light. A high-quality pearl can seem as though it's being illuminated from within, making it possible to see your own reflection. But a pearl with poor quality features weak reflections that are quite blurred. And so the thing that I've looked at is this, that your value as a believer is how well that the world can see Christ in you. How well the world can see Christ through you, that through your dark times and through your hardships and through life circumstances and through things that you've got to go through and through things that you didn't ask for, but you can still illuminate the life of Christ and people can still see Jesus in you. That is how you know that you've got of great value. It's a great lesson that we can learn. Another lesson that I've learned here about a pearl is this: a pearl is a unity. A pearl is a unity. A pearl is the only gem known to man that cannot be cut. You can cut a ruby, you can cut a diamond, but if you ever cut a pearl, it's lost its value. It's completely lost its value. You want to know how the church and when a church becomes worthless to the world and to the community it serves? When it's divided. A church becomes worthless to the city that it's in the moment it gets divided. And I'll take it a step further and say this. Don't ever be the one caught with a chisel in your hand. Don't ever be the one that's caught trying to divide God's work. We have to look at this, that you just cost the church its value to people, to families, to homes. Listen, one thing I'll say this morning is we don't all have to agree on the same thing, folks. Amen. We don't all have to look the same. Amen. You don't all have to come from the same backgrounds. You don't all have to have the same likes and dislikes. But we all have to stay in unity. Amen. If you believe that in unity, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you believe that, you all got to stay in unity. We all have to reflect Jesus through our lives. And I'm closing on this point right here, but I want to share this with you today because this is important. The final lesson that I've discovered and learned about a pearl, the final one is this: a pearl, it is a product of suffering. It is a product of suffering. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, one tiny grain of sand gets into that oyster's mouth and irritates that poor oyster so bad that the oyster begins to release a chemical to coat the pain. And the longer the pain, the more chemical is released. But one day that pain is going to produce great value. What a beautiful thing that is. One day that pain is going to produce something of great value. The point is this today, that some of you are here today and you're facing some great battles. We're a church, a people that when we walk out these doors, you're going to all go different ways. You've all got things you've got to deal with tomorrow. You've got things you've walked in here today you're dealing with today. Beautiful thing, we can all come together and we can hold each other up. But I want you to understand this right here, that the pearl is a product of suffering. And God wants you to know that He has allowed that pain in your life because He's going to get glory from it when it's over. He's going to get glory from it when it's over. He says that I'm going to bring value out of your suffering. I pray as a pastor, my hope and prayer really is this, that you're all saved. I do. I pray that all of you are saved. I pray that you all have that relationship with Jesus when you walk outside of these four walls. I say this many times and people laugh about it, but I'm not joking. If you're living a different life out there that you do here, don't wear the shirt that says Trinity Harvest, please. Just makes us look bad. You have a problem losing your cool, losing your temper out in public, please, please don't tell people where you go to church. But the altars are always open for you. I'm not being funny. I'm serious. I hope that everybody is saved in here. When I look across on Sunday mornings and I see your faces, man, I'm hoping, God forbid, if anything ever happens and you go out on these roads and something happens to you, a sickness or an accident happens to you and you're carried out of this life, I pray to God that you're ready to go. I do. I pray that. I hope that. I hope that Sundays, every Sunday when we join in here, I pray and I hope there are people that come together and they say, Lord, I messed up this week. I want to make things right. I want to rededicate my life. I want to be ready if the trumpet of God sounds. I want to be ready if I go by the rapture or go by the grave. I always want to be ready. I hope that we do that in this church. And I want to always preach that. That you always need to be ready. And I hope that when we get to heaven, I hope we're all going to be able to find each other. I'll call for you. I'll look for you. I'll holler your name. Don't act like you don't know me. We'll sit together. We'll eat together. We'll fellowship together. We'll praise together. Thank God together. But I believe as we are one of these days and saints of God, I don't believe that day is far behind. I believe we're going to stroll the streets of gold. And I believe we're going to see loved ones. And I believe we're going to see those that have gone before us. And we're going to meet them. And we're going to talk to them. And we're going to embrace them. Most of all, we're going to see Jesus. But I found a scripture about this story right here and about the pearl. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. I believe that it's going to be something like walking around Disney World and you're bumping into everything. You want to take in the scenery. You want to take it all in. And I believe as you're being escorted by the gates, I believe it's going to be a moment you're going to slow down and you're going to look. Because the scripture says this, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. That's a big oyster, ain't it? Man, that thing is huge. And the streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And all the times, I believe that one of these days, it's going to all make sense to us that all the times that you were hurt here on this earth, but you remain faithful to God, you're going to see the product of your pain. I believe of all the times that you were lied to on this earth, but you remained true and faithful to God, I believe you're going to see the product of your pain. Of all the times that you were cheated on, but you remained true and faithful to God. Of all the times that you felt like giving in and you felt like throwing the towel in here on this earth, you asked yourself, was it really even worth it? Is it even really worth going to church? Is it even really worth trying this again? All the times that you wondered if it was worth it, but you still remain true and faithful to God, you're going to see those gates of pearl and know that it was all worth it.